our spiritual biography. Everyone has one. Every one of us today. And the Bible is reading our biography to us today in the words that I'll be reading. There's a man named John Newton, born in 1725 and died in 1807, lived to be 82 years old. Most of y'all would probably not know he wrote a lot of sermons, and he wrote a lot of songs, wrote a lot of books. Probably none of y'all have ever read any of his sermons or read any of his books, but the songs, I know that one of his songs, we probably all have sung that song, and that song is Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. John Newton had a very wicked father. Had a godly mother that prayed for him, but she died when he was the age of 6. His father was a sailor, and John followed after his footsteps in the depths of sin and debauchery. Also come a slave trader, buying and selling human beings. Like father, like son. In that day and also the day that we live, the son followed the footsteps of their father, of his father, and came deep, bedded in sin. There's a lot of young men today is watching their fathers and their grandfathers and teaching them that it's not important to come to the house of the Lord. It's not important to serve and worship Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, but they're following after their fathers. We know that John went down, 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 and even he was a slave himself on that slave ship. A group of sailors gave him a book that was written back in those days, The Imitation of Christ. And as he began to read that book, the Lord spoke to him and helped John Newton to understand that he was a sinner and needed to be saved. And that amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. John Newton never got over that amazing grace for his spiritual biography of his life. I hope that you never get over that amazing grace, because that was amazing grace that saved John Newton, but it was amazing grace that saved me. It was amazing grace that saved you. And adding to these songs that he had wrote, especially this one that we take for granted, that's been around a long time. A lot of churches are leaving our old hymn books and quit singing our old hymn songs. There's some good new songs, and I like a lot of them, but I tell you, don't ever get away from our old hymns. Don't ever get away from our old hymns. John Newton never got over that amazing grace. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, "And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in a time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That means the lost. "Among whom also we all had our conversation, or our conduct, our way of lifestyle in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of our flesh and of our mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Here's where God come in. Amazing grace. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, lost, have quickened, made alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Let us pray. Father Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of the day. But Father, we want to thank you for reminding us of the grace, Lord, that you brought down to man through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, to appear to all men. Father, we just pray for that mercy and that grace to appear here today, in this assembly today. Father, that one person or many people might come to know they need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We pray the Holy Spirit of God will open up that heart, because that's the only way they'll ever see is old John Newton, to see that they need salvation and what salvation really is and what it means to each and every one of us. Father, we just thank you for what you're going to do in this service today. Even, Father, we know that you're going to work, and we thank you for glorifying your name today. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. John said, "I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Y'all understand that you, every one of us, that's our spiritual biography. I was lost. Me, I be more yet. I was lost and undone. But also I was blind, and I could not see that I needed salvation. I always believed there's Jesus Christ. I always believed he was the Son of God as long back as I could remember. But I was not saved just because I believed he existed. If I asked you this morning, do everyone here believe that Jesus Christ was a real man? I believe we would all say amen. I could ask you another question. Do you believe that George Washington was a real man? Do you believe that George Washington was a president of the United States? Do you believe George Washington was a good man? Do you believe he really existed on the face of this earth with the father of our country? I believe every one of us would say, yes, I really do believe in George Washington. I'll ask you another question. Have you ever met George Washington? Probably no one have. I don't think you have. I don't think you're that old. Same as Jesus Christ, because you have a head knowledge of George Washington. You believe that George Washington is real, everything about George Washington that you have read, you have a head knowledge. You've never had experience of meeting him. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came as a virgin birth, born in this world, became flesh, walked on this earth, went about doing good. Jesus Christ was a sinless Son of God, never sinned, never could sin. He didn't have the nature of sin in him. Died on Calvary's cross to shed his blood. For that shed blood was strong enough to save everybody that had ever been saved, ever been born, or ever will be born. Went to that grave. 3 days he rose again. Walked around for 40 more days. Ascended back to the Father in heaven. You believe all that? That do not mean that you're saved, because everybody understands, has ever heard about Jesus, right? They'll believe that. That's like they believe about George Washington. But you need to have a personal experience with a risen Savior. That's the heart knowledge. Have you had a personal experience with the Lord and Savior? Blind, but now I see. The title, your spiritual biography, but also your spiritual possibilities. Titus 2 and 11 says, for by grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men. He brings salvation. Only way that you can be saved is by grace through salvation to you today. Amazing grace for you and I today. Ephesians 2 and 1, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespassing and sin. Now the world thinks that human beings and mankind are sick and they need to be healed. That's the problem of our world today, that mankind is sick and they need to be healed. We put them in prison, we put them in jail, we rehabilitate them. We send them to doctors hoping they'll get well. But problem with mankind today, they're dead. They're dead. Pleasant Hill, you may have walked in those doors this morning, breathing God's air and your heart still beating. And you say, well, there's nothing wrong with me, but if without Jesus Christ, you walked into those doors and you are dead. Even though that you're breathing, you are dead. So I brought 4 D's that you understand for your salvation through grace. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're dead. You're devilish, you're disobedient, and you're depraved. Because you are dead. You may be breathing here this morning. Without Jesus Christ in your life, you are dead. You say, well, I thought death was separated from the soul from the body and put the old body in a cemetery somewhere. No, this dead is talking about separation from the soul from God. You are dead because your soul has been separated from God through sin. You don't have to be saved to have eternal existence. Every one of us have eternal existence. You have to be saved to have eternal life. Because you have eternal existence, you will spend somewhere in eternity, either in heaven or either hell. You have eternal existence right now. But you may not have eternal life. From time to time, people believe that Elvis Presley's still around. And someone said they seen him here and they seen him there. Where is Elvis Presley? He still have existence, I can assure you that, but I don't know where he's at. But I know he still have existence, and you will too. 100,000 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now, you will still have existence. Each and every one of us, we may not have eternal life, but we'll have existence now. All of us today, as we think about it, until you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you've had a personal experience with him, as though John Newton did, you are dead in trespasses and sin. John 10:10 says, a thief cometh not for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that you may have life and have it, might have it more abundantly, that you might be healthy in Christ Jesus again. Abundant life. The first D, you are dead without Christ. But not only that, you are devilish without Christ. In Ephesians 2:2, where in the time past you walked according to the course of this world, that's the prince of the power of the air, the devil. And it says, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedient. Now you now worketh, you're lost, you're working in disobedient because you're obeying the devil and you're not obeying Jesus Christ. How do you obey Jesus Christ? For accepting what he done for you on Calvary's cross, it's not doing the Ten Commandments. It's doing what Jesus Christ done for you on Calvary's cross, shed his blood that you might accept it by faith and be saved. That's obedient to God. It's not do-do and done-done. It's what Jesus Christ has done for you and for you to accept what he's done. You are devilish, you are disobedient if you have not accepted Jesus Christ. As you think today that we are lost without Jesus Christ. John 8:44 says, ye are of your father's the devil. The lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Your spiritual biography. You're disobedient of the devil. Now, you say, not me. Not me. Well, God says we're all in this boat together. But the third D, disobedient, devilish and disobedient, without the Lord Jesus Christ, who me? I hadn't done all that bad. Well, let's see what Romans 3:23 says. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what that means? That you don't measure up to Jesus Christ as the glory of God, and you don't measure up to Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm just as good as anybody else in that church. Well, that's not what God's talking about, because you're just as bad as anybody else in this church, including me. Because we all sin and come short of the glory of Jesus Christ. I'm not your measuring stick. Jesus is. If you look at me, I'll let you down. Look at each other, we'll let you down. Jesus Christ will never let you down. You come short of Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23. Because of that, the wages of sin, what is that? It's death. Eternal separation from God, because that's the wages you're going to receive for not being obedient to God and being disobedient to Jesus Christ. But he says there's a gift. It's nothing that you can work for. He's handing it out to you. He hands it out every day right now. The gift of God is eternal life, not just existence because you have that now, but eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Ezekiel 18:20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Have we all sinned? Have you all sinned? If everybody in here know that you have sinned in the past? We have sinned. We all know that we are sinners. We all have been dead. You may be dead today, according to the Word of God. You say, well, I hadn't killed anybody. I hadn't robbed the bank. You know what? I've done pretty good. We're not talking about deterioration. We're talking about dead. You see, a lot of times old deers run out on the road and someone hits them with a car. That deer's dead by the side of the road. You come by the next day and the Lord's undertakers has took hold. But that deer was just as dead the first day it was hit than it is the third day or the second day or whatever day that you see it. Because deterioration has set in. There's no such a thing as dead, debtor, and deadest. Deterioration has set in. You without Jesus Christ this morning, I'll tell you, deterioration set in the time that you reach the age of accountability. As a child. Well, how old is that, preacher? No one knows their age. But they know one thing. Whenever a child gets big enough to know that they have disobeyed God, they start walking away from God. In time that age you started walking away from God, no matter how old or how long you might live on this earth, you continuously walk away from God. You know what happens as you walk away from God? You continuously go down in deterioration. Some people walk faster than others. In other words, some people go into deterioration faster than other people. They go down Skid Road, alcoholism, drugs, and many, many other things. At a young age, they go down the road faster in deterioration. And there's a people that has good morals about their life. Good mother, good father. But they are dead. And the difference is in deterioration. You're just as dead being a good father and a good mother and a good person. Doing the best you can, you're just as dead as that person going down Skid Road. The difference is deterioration, but you're still dead. You're still dead without Jesus Christ. People think they'll do better. They cannot do better. They're dead. And this fourth D, depraved without Jesus Christ, without the Lord. Ephesians 2 and 3, among whom also we have all had our conversation and lifestyle in the past, the lust of our flesh, the fulfillment and desires of our flesh and our mind, and by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. By nature. That means that you're sinful by nature. You was born by nature into sin. You inherited that from your mother and your father, and they inherited it all the way back to Adam and to Eve by nature. By nature, I had the nature to sin in me when I was conceived in this world. But not only that, I sinned by choice. I wanted to. But not only that, I sinned by practice because I liked it. You have inherited this sin. Psalms 58 and 3 says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Oh, David said in Psalm 51 and 5, behold, I was shaken in iniquity, and in my sin did my mother conceive me. That's the nature that he had. You see, we all have that sinful nature. Every one of us was born in this world. None of us escaped it. Only one man, that's Jesus Christ. He did not have the sinful nature because the royal blood that Jesus Christ shed for you and I, his blood did not come from his earthly father. It came from his heavenly father. The blood does not come from the mother. The blood comes from the father. And he had that sinless blood. He had no reason to sin. I seen on television where a man had a baby rattlesnake. And you know what happened to that baby rattlesnake? It grew up to be a big rattlesnake because it still had the venom in that baby rattlesnake. As soon as every one of us today, Ephesians 2 and 4 again, but God, your spiritual biography, whether you like it or not, I just explained it to you exactly the way every one of us was. And you may be today. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us. In verse 5, even when we were dead in sin, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Quickened, made us alive. By grace you've been made alive. Dead men, dead people, and we've all been to funerals. Every one of us, probably. Been to funerals. Roll a person down in front of this altar here today. We gather around. We have a dead man. Now we want to try to raise this dead man. You know, if you're here today and without Jesus Christ, you're in this casket. You're in this casket today without Jesus. Now we want to raise you from the dead. Out of this casket. Now, how are we going to do this? Well, the world says by example. We're going to raise you by example. Now, you're a dead man here in this casket. Let's do it by example now. We're going to get around this casket. We're going to jump. We're going to holler. We're going to run around and let that dead man look at us as we run and jump and roll over. Will that raise him from the dead? No. It won't raise him from the dead. No matter what type of example you set before that dead man, he's still dead. That's what the world's trying to do today. Trying to resurrect the dead by examples. Then there's another way the world tries to do it, by education. Let's get the greatest teachers, college professors, let's bring the greatest books that ever been written, lessons on life. And let's sit around this casket of this dead man and let these great teachers and come around and read him the lessons on life. For hours, we're going to read and study the lessons on life. Will that raise him from the dead? No. Lessons from life will not do that. Well, I know what we'll do. The world says, let's be the great encourager. We need to encourage people, and we do. But we come and we encourage this man, and we say, now, get up. Get out of that casket. Come on. Get up. I know that you can do it. Come on, let's get around this casket now. We got a dead man here. We got a dead man. Let's encourage this dead man. Get up, get up. Come on now. We all pulling for you. We all going to be praising for you. We all going to encourage you. Get up, get up, get up. We know you can do it. Come on, get up out of that casket. Is he going to get up? He ain't going to get up. You know why? He's dead. He has no life. You know, the person today without Jesus Christ is dead, without no life. They cannot come back to life. They're dead in their self, and there's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that person can do because they are dead. They are dead. Well, let's put him in this great environment. Let's bring the flowers, the great music. Let's put him in this great, great environment where everything is beautiful. Just like a lot of times that you go to the funeral and the music is playing softly. And there's flowers all over in the beautiful surroundings. But you know what? That has never raised a dead man. The environment has never raised a dead man. Education has never raised a dead man. Example, encouragement has never raised a dead man. That's exactly what the world is trying to tell people that's dead. One of these four or all of them about how to live again. But man is still dead. Cannot get out of that casket no matter what we do. We cannot get that man out of this casket. You know what the Bible says? But God. Woo! But God, when I was dead in my casket, but God, for by grace you are saved. You cannot save yourself by trying. No more than that dead man can come back to life again. You are dead in trespass and sin. You're going to remain dead in trespass and sin. And there's nothing that you can do and nothing that we can do or nobody else can do to get life in that dead man but God. But God. Salvation is not a reward for the righteous. It's a gift to the guilty. And I was guilty of treason, high treason of the Lord Jesus Christ. I got a reward, not for my right doing, trying to be right and do right and be good, because none of us can. It's Jesus Christ in us. And I got a reward for that, because that gift that he gave me was eternal life. Salvation through grace. But God don't stop with that. You believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, accept him as your Lord today, he will save you, but he don't quit. That's just the beginning of it. of eternal life. Sanctification through grace. Now you're saved by grace. Grace do not stop because you are saved. Titus 2, 11 and 12 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present world." What grace has taught us. When a baby is born, a baby begins to learn. You accept Jesus Christ today, you are a babe in Christ. When you did accept Jesus Christ, you was a young baby. And what the baby do, they begin to learn. That's called sanctification. We begin to learn. Saved by grace and continually saved by grace. Not sinning because we need more grace. Romans 6 and 1 and 2 said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Why? We come out of the law, the school law of do, trying to do. You ever try to do good before you are saved? Listen, the old devil sat on my shoulder, and I had two spirits sat on my shoulder, and I know which one there was. You know what the Word of God will do? He'll rip off the mask of Satan and let you know who's doing the speaking. You need to be in church, you need to read your Bible. I didn't know which one was doing the speaking. I said, "Well, I know I'd like to be like those people that play the hill, but I'll go back home and I change my life and get all this stuff that I know out of my life and I get straightened out. I'll come and then I'll be saved and I'll get that gift that I work for." It don't work that way. You will never get good enough. That's what old Satan will tell you. You're just as good. There's two things Satan will do, especially one to the saved, one to the unsaved. Did you know what? If you're lost this morning, you know what he's going to tell you? You're just as good as anybody else in that church. God is a God of love. God wouldn't send anybody to hell. You're just as good as anybody. God won't send you to hell. God never sends nobody to hell. They step over the blood of Jesus Christ to get there. They go there as an intruder. And then if you are saved, the Satan say, you know, I mean, oh, he said, "You know, look what old person done." We always need grace, don't we? We always need grace. Listen, we're in the school of law before we saved. But you see, now we're in a school of grace. I think this past week, didn't the school, weren't the school out a day, what, last Tuesday or Monday or something? Weren't the school out one day? You know, sometimes our school system, they close down for a day or two. Sometimes maybe the teacher might not even show up. But I'll tell you one thing, you will never get out of school of grace. And it never closes. And the teacher always will show up. And there's a lot of homework to do. And there's no recesses. The school of grace. He keeps working on us because sanctification is through grace. Learn about salvation. There's nothing to earn. There's much to learn about salvation. Jesus Christ called his apostles, and he calls them disciples, the one that's following after him, because that means learner. Did you know if you're saved, you're a disciple of Jesus Christ? That means you're a learner of Jesus Christ. It's up to you how fast you want to learn. Before long, we're going to have some people that are graduating. Dylan, I don't know how many more are going to be graduating from school. Some people are going to be graduating from college. But there's no graduation from the school of grace until Jesus Christ comes back. Philippians 1 and 6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, have begun a good work in you, perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, he comes back." Discipled by grace of God. Now John Newton, that amazing grace, I'm going to tell you today, do you understand what John Newton understood about that amazing grace? And he never got over that amazing grace. Not what I ought to be, but I'm glad he says I'm not what I used to be. Amen. I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. But the third thing that we have, and that is service through grace. See, grace never stops. Service through grace. Titus 2 and 14. "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity," purifying himself, a particular people, "zealous of good works." Zealous of good works. You know why? Because he purchased us. You're not your own anymore. He gave himself for us and purchased us. He bought us with his own self and his own blood. 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corrupt things, silver and gold from your vain lifestyle of conversation received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb, without blemish, without spot. That means that you belong to Jesus Christ. And he said exactly everything that we need to do and understand. You know what? He's called you to a place of worship. If you're saved, you bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, and he owns you. He tells you when to come. He wrote in the Word of God, don't forsake the assembling ourselves together. He tells us when to come. God's grace, love, every one of us. The grace has to chase us down. Amazing grace. Did you know if you could outrun God, they wouldn't none of us be saved? If you could outrun God, they wouldn't one of us be saved today. He had to chase us down, every one of us. I was minding my own business when God come knocking at my door. How about you? I was doing what I wanted to do when God got knocking at my door. If we could outrun God, you wouldn't be saved today. There's another song. Man wrote it in our hymn books. Born in 1895 and died in 1885. Blessed Redeemer. Said, precious Redeemer. See now that I see him on Calvary's tree. Have you seen him? Wounded and bleeding for sinners pleading. Blind and unheeding. Dying for me, as old John Newton saw that. He saw Jesus and I saw Jesus. I was at the cross when they crucified my Lord. Was you? You got to come to the cross of Calvary and see what he done for you before you can be saved. You got to realize you're the one with the spear in your hand this morning, jabbing in the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to understand you're the one with a hammer and a nail holding his hand down and driving those nails through the Savior's hand. You got to understand you're the one that mashed those thorns down upon his head. You got to understand that you're the one that beat him with the cattails of nine lives till he couldn't hardly walk. You're the one. Every one of us, but he bought us. He purchased us, purified us. Titus 2:14 again. Who gave himself for us, he might redeem us from all iniquity, purifying unto himself a particular people, peculiar people, zealous. You know what he said in Titus 2:15? These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. And then it says in Romans 8:4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We're peculiar people to the Lord. That means we are treasured to God, what God has done for us. We're special to him. Did you know you were special to God? But it don't quit with that. Salvation through grace, sanctification through grace. We got the service through grace, but you see, God will not stop on us till we have glorification through grace. We'll be glorified one day. Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessing hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That'll be glorification for me. That'll be glorification for you. God is going to do that for me. He promised that he would. What began in grace will end in glory. Will end in glory. 1 Corinthians 15:19. In this life only we have hope in Christ. We are all men most miserably. But I'm looking for Jesus. Looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of my great God and my Savior, or our Savior, Jesus Christ. I've never been to the Holy Lands. I walked around whenever Jesus Christ walked on the Sea of Galilee. I never saw him perform miracles. I never saw Jesus Christ in the flesh while he walked on this earth. But one day I will see him. He has a glorious appearing and I will see him. He has guaranteed me that by his word that's true. He's guaranteed you that. But I tell you, the dead people will not see him. Not the dead whenever they lost. I'm talking about the dead in body, but I'm just talking the dead in Christ. Arise first, and all those left will rise up in the air to meet the Lord. But those who are left back, there'll be a rise resurrection day of the lost after tribulation time. But you see, I know where I'm going. You're bragging now, preacher. No, I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on the Lord, because he promised to do that for me. Have you ever lived good enough that you think you deserve heaven? Have you ever lived good enough that you think you deserve heaven? You think you deserve it? I'm just as good as any of the people at church. No, you're just as bad as any of us people at church. Because not a one of us are perfect. Only perfection we have is in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're a dead person this morning, we're going to ask for a song of invitation. If you're a dead person this morning and you want to be raised, remember what you got to do. We can't do it. Everything this world has tried to do will not bring life back to you. Jesus Christ says, I am life. He is the one that can give you life. No one else can. He is the only one that can raise you from the dead.